But yes, I've rather gone a little out of my way. I hadn't intended to say quite as much about the prolific. I was going to say more about Bipibara. As I mentioned, Blake says that in Marriage of Heaven and Hell, that there are two kinds of men, the prolific and the devouring. So I was thinking about, well, devouring. Do we have anything corresponding to that aspect of the reactive, anti-creative mind? I thought, well, yes, we do. There's a very important word in Buddhism. I wonder if you can think of it. A word that occurs in the chain of the Nidanas, that is to say, the Nidanas which are part of the Wheel of Light. And that word is Trishna. Trishna, craving. So, what is craving? Craving is the desire, the urge to devour. You want to swallow. Whether it's another person, another idea, or a thing, or an object, it's, well, craving is the devourer. So let's just have a few words about that before I start thinking of concluding. You'll remember, I'm sure, exactly where it comes in the Nidana chain, but perhaps I'd better remind you. You have, of course, first of all, the cause process of the past, the past life, that is to say. That is to say, you have avidya, ignorance, and the sankskaras, the factors conducing to rebirth. And then, of course, in this life, you have, first of all, you have the effect process of the present life. You have, first of all, vijnana, in the sense of the seed of consciousness, which comes into being in the womb of the mother. Then, of course, you have nama-rupa, the psychophysical organism that comes into existence in dependence upon that vijnana, that initial consciousness. And then in dependence upon that, you have the six sense organs, including mind. And then you have contact with an external object, physical or mental. And then you have vedana, feeling, pleasant, painful or neutral. End of result process. But not the end of that chain, because what usually happens is, in dependence upon feeling, especially pleasurable feeling, there arises thirst or craving. You want to devour that pleasant experience, that pleasant person, that pleasant idea, that pleasant possession. You want to have it. So in dependence upon Trishna, craving, there arises upadana, clinging. I need not trace the process any further. The point I want to make is, and I've made it before, and you must have come across this before, that this is a very crucial point. The point at which the result process of the present passes over into the cause process of the present. What we have to do is to maintain our awareness, and when we experience vedana, whether pleasant, painful or neutral, we have to be careful not to react. We mustn't allow the reactive mind to come into operation. We must be creative. We must respond. And especially when we experience dukkha, when we experience suffering, but in dependence upon that, we should try to develop shraddha, or faith. Now, when we are enjoying ourselves, we don't usually think very much. That is to say, enjoying ourselves in the ordinary way. We don't stop and ask, well, why am I enjoying myself? Why should I be enjoying? Why should I be so happy? Why should I be in such a good state? No, we don't. That sort of state, that sort of condition is not one that is conducive to the asking of philosophical questions. But, you know, when we experience pain, when we experience suffering, whether it's physical suffering, illness, old age, decrepitude, or when we're parted, you know, from those whom we love, especially when they die, or when we are faced with unpleasant experiences of loss of another kind, we start thinking, we start reflecting. And I've noticed this happening quite a lot within the movement and within the order recently, because many people within the FWO are now of an age when their parents die. So there have been many reminders of recently, in the course of the last few months, reminders that, well, life can hold some quite painful experiences. We can suffer. That human life inevitably involves suffering. So suffering makes us think, we start thinking, well, why am I suffering? Why is this? And perhaps we start thinking that, well, there must be something more than this present life of alternate happiness and enjoyment, you know, suffering and pleasure. And when we start thinking in that way, we start lifting our minds to something higher, for want of a better term, to higher values, to something more truly satisfying. And in Buddhist terms, our aspiration eventually comes to rest on what we call the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma and the Sangha, and faith, in the sense of the placing of our heart on the three jewels arises. In this way, we take the first step out of the round and up the spiral, which leads eventually to enlightenment. So, as I'm sure all of you know, or at least have read from time to time, in dependence upon faith, there arises a feeling of a sort of joyous contentment, a deeper, more heartfelt satisfaction. And then in dependence upon that, there may even arise a state or experience which is, so to speak, ecstatic, very intense sort of bubbling joy and happiness. And in dependence upon that, there arises an even loftier experience which consists in the calming down of the previous experience without a lessening of its intensity. And in this way we come to experience what you call sukha or bliss, a truly blissful experience. And we then become concentrated, samadhi. And when we're concentrated, we're able to see things as they really are. To see things as they really are. And that really does constitute a tremendous turning point in our whole spiritual life. From then onwards, the attainment of enlightenment, we might say, is certain.